Mercy. You got about the prettiest hat rack I ever seen. Just turn around there and hand that to that lady, and she'd sit there and hold that hat. Oh, my Lanta. It took y'all a year to invite me back, but and I recognized some folks, and y'all knew I was going to be here. Thank you. Yeah. If we're wrong about Jesus getting us into heaven, y'all in by good works, right? We ain't wrong about Jesus. We ain't wrong about this country either, are we? Let me say a quick prayer for us. I need it. I'm praying for me right now, and I ask y'all to pray for me. Jesus, I come to you now. I just pray that cleanse my heart, clear my mind, Lord, so I can speak to you and that you can hear me. Because, Lord, we know you can't look upon sin, and I don't need any in me right now. Lord, I need to be emptied out. Lord, help them not to see the berry that I want to be, but the berry that I can be with you coming through me. And, Lord, that's what I need, and I need it every day. Lord, I want to thank you for this country that we have, that you blessed us with. I want to thank you for Columbus having a vision and willing to come over. We celebrate him tomorrow, but, Lord, right now we celebrate you today. And, Lord, I just ask you to forgive me where I failed you in being an American. And Lord, most of all, being a Christian. And I just pray that you'd lift us up today as you use the words and the stories and the troubles and also the success that you've given me these last few weeks to honor and glorify you with. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I don't know if I have to say stand and remove cover, but I feel like I ought to put my hand on my heart and say the Pledge of Allegiance. Is there any Americans in here? Unless you're a professional football player, I expect everybody standing that physically can. I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, one nation, which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. If you would, please remain standing for something that I really feel important to do for God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Thank y'all. Y'all may be seated. God bless you. I throwed my phone away the other day. You thought it was over. That's why he's clapping. They've been here before. I done found out the rodeo don't start to 2, and I know the judge. Y'all ain't going to be late. How many of you wonder why you're here today? See, I had that question. Y'all, they kept them kids in here for a reason. We're going to keep it PG-13. Don't worry. It's all going to come from God's word. And I want to read you something right quick that I learned last Sunday. I went to help flag a team roping. Woo, that was an experience. Church softball game or t-ball game, that's the only other three places you can get cussed out if you mess up. Yeah, you call the preacher out when he slides home. He'll remember some of them words that he forgot. Acts chapter 17, the God who made the world and everything in it. So believe it or not, that's what he did. He does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by humans' hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. Verse 26 of chapter 17 in Acts says, from one man he made every nation of men. So I got that explained to me last week by a preacher that really knows how to preach. And he says that you are put right in the place that you're supposed to be put. You're the color you are. You're male or female when you're born because you were God's plan to succeed for him and do what he called you to do. It says from, and that they should inhabit the whole earth. not just Cossy, Texas, not just Santo, Texas, where I live, not just, it, he means the whole earth. So he couldn't put just one person to take care of all that. And he determined the times set for them and to act in the exact places where they should live. Now you don't have to wonder why you, who you are, where you are, doing what you're doing. Was anybody wondering that when they come in here? Why I don't have the job that I thought I wanted to have or live in the house that I thought I wanted to live in. God's got you right where he wants you right now. And he's the only way you can get out of that. God did this so that man would seek him, perhaps, and reach out for him and find him. Though he is not far from each of us, from every one of us. Now that kind of cleared some stuff up, I hope. So I'm going to back up here in Genesis and I'll explain to you. I know exactly why I was not created to be Adam and my wife was not created to be Eve. If you're wondering why. Why wasn't I born during that time? Why didn't God use me? It says right here in Genesis chapter 2, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took a rib from man and closed up that place in his flesh. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib. Wow. And he had taken out of the man, and he had brought her to the man. How I know that I wasn't supposed to be Adam, my wife wasn't supposed to be Eve, I could have given life physically to her with my own rib. She would have walked up and said, with all this garden to tend to, all these animals to take care of, what are you doing laying on the couch taking a nap? Now think about that. Yeah, you wasn't prepared to be Adam and Eve. And you've heard it wasn't Adam and Steve, too. We've got to refresh some people's memory nowadays. Now, I'm not talking about the world that we're living in is terrible, because it's not any worse than it was when Noah had to build the ark. See, that's what the first group of people that God put on this earth was doing. And when they figured out, hey, we can do what we want to. God gave us free will. God gave us Texas A&M and University of Texas. He got some people brave enough this close to Texas A&M to walk in the church with the Texas Longhorn tumbler. Amen. Look at my horns. Whoop! Oh, shoot. The greatest thing about it is, though, is there ain't nothing going on that ain't already went on. It's just a little more televised nowadays, isn't it? Just a little bit more. Like blue means boy. And I didn't bring this for the children. I brought this for the adults that are on my age level. You got to have a little show and tell. This is called a sponge. When I was growing up, it's a loofah now, and they can sell it for a little more. This was by the man's body hair and everything else wash. You get it all in one bottle for about $1.19. Now, you got to have $93 worth of stuff on all around the tub if you're a female, right? You got to have stuff that puts your color in, and then you got to wash with that so it don't take the color out. But then you got to use this to keep the highlights going, and then we got to cover up the gray, and then we got to, man, just shave it off. That's what men do. And then it comes back more gray. No, I don't put any coloring on. But if I ever do, I know where to get the product out of the female's bathroom back there, because we got a male and female. His and hers used to have towels. Yeah, we got a whole different bathroom. This right here, when I bought it, was in the man's section by the man's products. But this little deal right here proves that it wasn't for man. See that? I'm going to tell you how you always have to fix stuff when you buy it. How many of you bought a trailer and you had to get the gate to where it'll swing both ways and fix it the way you could use it? I'm fixing to make this a man's product. Are you ready? Y'all ready? All right. Now that is a sponge for man. Stay with me. Last time I was here, I think I told y'all about bulls getting me down and dogs catching cattle and nearly dying, and God gave me a vision, and I lived through it, and I came and shared a story with you, that what God told me. Who would have ever thought that cowboy going to show up with a loofah? Hands testify, Larry. That's the reason you don't ranch rodeo no more, and the reason I don't ranch rodeo no more. Is your hand is too far from your brain to tell it to let go. First thing a woman does when things get bad. They show you your hands, you know. And you can picture me with my clothes on. You don't have to picture it any other way. First time I ever used it. Oh, that feels good. Yeah. The key right here is the reason this string is not for men. You get down there washing that big toe. You got your eyes closed. You're full of soap. And it hangs up on that little toe. And you put that big foot back down and wham! Out the shower door I went. Landed on my head between the toilet and the sink. My wife was out of town visiting my oldest daughter and her, our grandchildren, her two children, visiting them. There ain't no kids left. Coy's done moved out. He works up there on a ranch. I'm home alone. It's going to be on the news. This guy caught bulls that most people never even thought about going after. I always get the calls that if you don't get him, we're just going to shoot him. And here I died with a pink, it was my wife's loofah, a pink loofah hung to my little toe upside down. I don't know when I woke up or how long I was there. The soap was dried enough I had to get back in and wash off. God made man and woman. There's my point right there. If you don't believe nothing else, we different. We're supposed to be different. I grew up, my childhood hero was on the box of Wheaties. Now he's on the box of feminine products. Michael Jackson. I grew up with Michael Jackson. The coolest little black boy in the world that could grow up and be the greatest black singer in the world. He looked like a white woman when he died. God forgive me. You see what I'm saying? Be proud of who you are. Be proud of what you are and where you are. I have struggled with that for the last year like you have never seen. Well, why does that guy get to run the ranch? He's a ranch monitor. That's what he is. Y'all seen that commercial? Dentist is over there. You're going to be able to fix that cavity? Oh, no, I'm not a dentist. I'm a dentist monitor. Hey, police, police. Oh, no, you need a police, but I'm just a police monitor. I'm just here to tell you you need a police. These guys drive around in a big fancy pickup, their ranch monitor. That bothered me. But then I realized, hey, they're going to run them off, and sooner or later they're going to have to call me, Barry, if you'll be patient and be where God wants you to be and do what God wants you to do, he'll have you right where you need to be. And cut the string off your loofah. God's word tells us that we are first responders as Christians. First responders. Noah was a first responder. You realize that? The news came in. This is back before Fox, RCNN, RMS, BBEE, whatever it is. Whether you're on the Democrat side or Republican side or just don't care side. He got the news straight from the weatherman. The weather, God creator of the weather. Said it's going to have a flood and you need to share with everybody. And only people in this world, according to God's word, that was ever saved literally by water was Noah and his family. Three boys and the girls. And here we go. We got to go get on the boat. We got to get out of here. Take all the animals with you. Two of everything. Now, I don't know that he got the Bramers on there, but they came later. Some of y'all appreciated that. I knew you would. what I try to do is find people that wished I wasn't here, and they start smiling, and the ones that was the happiest I was here start frowning, and that's when I can quit. So we still got a few more here to work on, but we're getting there. And I'm going to be all over the place like I usually am because, see, I'm not up here just to speak to one person. God wants to speak to all of you. And so he's speaking. And God's word tells us that Adam and then Noah and then Moses and then David. And David could not be the Messiah because he messed up. He did the same exact sins that are going on right now, right? And David was a man after God's own heart. And so are you if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so am I because I have received Christ as my Lord and Savior. And so when I get to looking at this and looking at God's word and saying, oh, my Atlanta, Jesus, you've got us testifying of what it says in Acts. And then it not only says in Acts about you're right where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, and you are black, white, brown, green, whatever color you are. God says, I got a plan for you. And you may be the only white man that can reach another white man that he will listen to. And if you're black, you may be the only black man that another black man would listen to. And that's why you know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And all this prejudice deal that's going on, guess what? It's been going on a long time. Cain and Abel, these two people on the earth. Same color according to God's word. Now, I don't even know what color that is. I ain't even going to get into it. Because it don't matter. He got mad over what he thought the other one was going to get. So I'll just kill you and then I'll get it all. Wow. That's why we're here, is to reach other people for Jesus. It's not for me just to get all the Jesus and then, you know, a lot of people say, I want to have all the good horses in the world. I wished I had all the good horses in the world. Well, who would you compete against? You'd have all the good ones. Nobody else would have one. So what if I just have one and try to make as many as I can and so you can get one? Spiritually speaking, that's what God's calling us to do. We're riding that spiritual horse for him in the cowboy terminology. There's some churches all over. We passed several of them on the way down here. You nearly need to have a suit and tie to get in there. And amen for them, because I guarantee you that church is going to reach that man that has to have a suit and tie to go anywhere. And if they're preaching and teaching Jesus Christ, they're doing what's right. And yes, it was a tragedy. I think I didn't hear much about it. I broke my Facebook phone. Praise God. Some of y'all seen some of my comments on there, and I had to get out of there. I had to get my face back in this book and get my face out of that book. Because what's been going on the last few months, I guarantee you I'd have said some stuff that I'd be dead right now and would need to be. But God gave me the opportunity to be silent and wait on him and be patient and say, Jesus, why am I really here? Said it's to share my word to people that be willing to listen. Acts, it tells us, Acts chapter 1. I've read this many times. I probably have every time I've come here. But it tells us, for it is not for you to know the time and date as the Father that has set by his own authority. That's when Jesus is coming back. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be witnesses of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So if you feel like Cossey, Texas is the end of the earth, well, guess what? You're there. You're right where God wants you to be. And I know it's not. You have to go through it to get there. But it's not the ends of the earth. And I meant that seriously. Wherever you're at, this may not be all God has for you, but he's allowing you to go through what you're going through right now to get where he needs you to be. Did anybody get that? Did I go too fast? We're good. All right. And I didn't insinuate that you were the slowest person in here and just made sure you caught it. In Jesus' name. Watch that, Lufa. See, I cut my string off. I can't hang it up. God's word tells me that that's what I have to do. As a Christian, that's what I'm supposed to do. I got a call last week to go and help a guy ship a bunch of cattle up in the panhandle. We was talking about between Tooele and Silverton. Some of y'all know where that's at, and some of you don't care, I can see. Had to ship a bunch of cattle because it was raining them out. They had to get them off of grass, and they was going to the feedlot and all that stuff. And he called me, and he said, would you be willing to come up here and help me? You know how I knew I was supposed to go up there and help him? There wasn't nothing else going on around the house, and I was sure needing to get out there and make a little dollars, pay for that house that God had blessed us with. And if we don't make the dollars and they come and get that house, that's fine. We got a nice pickup to sleep in. And if they come get that pickup, we got some nice horses to. And I don't think they're on a note. We got them. We're good right now. And if we move under a bridge tomorrow, the last research that I saw, one of the smallest bridges built in the state of Texas is $1.2 million. That's four times what our house is worth. We're moving on up. That's all I can say. But we'll have an iPhone. The government will give us one. Won't have to worry about it. It tells us in here that there was a time that they were supposed to be slaves. God's word tells us that the slave owners were supposed to take care of their slaves with respect and love. And it didn't matter what kind. I'm talking about Egypt and Israel, okay? Not black and white, not America and Africa, not none of that. And think about the pyramids. They wouldn't be any of them built without slaves. God had those individuals in that bondage for a reason at that time. But he saved them and delivered them. Just like any, which we don't have slavery now. Some of you say, oh yeah, we do. We are slaves to sins. You're on your own. You said married. Yeah. Yes, sir. And that's a whole nother. In Ephesians, what is your name again?
Wendell Little.
Mm-hmm. Ephesians chapter 5. You know, you always wonder when God, how God's going to divert you and go to different avenues. In Ephesians chapter 5, this is good right here, verse 1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. And live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering, like the most high of all high offerings, the best, the fatted bull calf that was with no blemish, offering and sacrifice to God. It says over here, now that you brought it up, little Wendell, verse 22, yeah, you see, you sitting over here, ain't got no wife sitting by you. You don't hold Maloofa, make you feel more like a man. Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. Uh-oh, yeah, I got an amen, then half of you going to like this. For the husband is the head of the house, and the wife is head of the wife as Christ is head of the church, his body. And what did Christ do for his wife? Hello? Yeah. Freely. Me in 31 years, I ain't never thought about divorce, have we? Murder. Yeah. She has talked about, I guarantee you. Mm-hmm. But he died for all 10 of those sins that we're always trying to keep up with. He knew we couldn't make a one of them work. As he is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Man, y'all liking this, ain't you? Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Y'all ready for this? Three little verses, wives, that's all y'all got. Men, we got a bunch of reading to do for us. Turned the page, didn't it? Husbands, love your wives. How'd you know where this was going? God knew. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word. Not just reading the Bible to her, but reading that Bible, taking God's word and applying it daily, showing the same love to her. Now, kids, hang on. Y'all in here for a reason. It's getting to you. We still got to beat up on daddy just a little bit longer. God's doing it. It ain't me. And if y'all don't like it, y'all can talk to Steve. He's the one that gave everybody my name to bring me down here. You remember that years ago? Okay. And it says, present her to himself as a radiant church without stain, without wrinkle. If you want her to be, if you want to be the king, treat her like a queen. Preaching to me now, ain't I? Without any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. I'll cut your string off, too, if I need to. We throwed that one away. It had blood on it from my head. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the same for the church. Now, Americans, blend in just a little bit of being America. If there's other Americans that you can say this about. Because if you're American and you love America and you love being American, then let's help other Americans. God's given us a message here this morning. For we are, and he's given it to me. I had to go through this. I mean, he'd been beating me. He'd been whooping me like a some kind of something. I said redheaded stepchild one time, and there was a man come up to me after the church, and he said, I just want you to know something. I'm redheaded, and I'm a stepchild. And that's the first time I've ever been proud about it. Yeah. He's a big man, too. And I thought, well, this is it. This is how I'm going to die. It'd have saved me from it'd have saved me from killing myself in the bathroom with a loofah. been a little more proud about that, wouldn't it? So, for we are members of his own, of that body. For the reason a man will leave his father and mother and unite with his wife, which is a female. Bring that up nowadays, don't you? And his parents must have been male and female. Notice that? See, that's what the world has told us, that it's okay to do that. No, it's not okay to do that. God's telling us again here, even in this scripture here. And the two will become one flesh. This is profound mystery. But I am a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of us, of you also, must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. Chapter 6. It doesn't stop there, kids. And all of us are parents. But we're all still kids. I'm 51 years old come October 26th. And I still got parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that if it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life here on earth. Now, I know that's a fact, because if I would have disrespected my father while I was in his home, he'd have killed me. So I received a longer life. That's K-I-L-T. That's where they beat you up until you die. That kind of kill. We didn't have no time out when I was a child, except for the time that he hit me, I was on the floor, and I woke up. That was our time out. We had a wooden cross and a wooden spoon. Mama could whip that. You've seen some Clint Eastwood. Outlaw Josie Wales. Some of y'all know he had a pistol in his underpit, his under pocket, everywhere he could have a pistol. And he could whip all four of them out, shoot you with it, put them back up, and still catch his groceries on the porch. You remember that? My mother could whip that spoon out of her purse, whip us three times, put it back in her purse, and we're crying, and nobody knows why in Gibson's floor. Some of y'all remember Gibson's, don't you? Yeah, I wish they had Gibson's nowadays. That's back before Walmart's, because they always had two cashiers there, and they would always check you out. Now you have to go get your own groceries and then check yourself out. Have you noticed that? That's crazy. That ain't right. No, we don't need to create jobs. We just need to go fill the ones that are available. It's what God says. And our job, I got around on that and got plumb running a rabbit, didn't I? It says that it may go well. Fathers, do not exasperate your child. See, my dad always wanted to leave that part off. Not exasperate. Don't aggravate them. Don't pester them. Don't put them in positions to where they want to hate you. Instead, bring them up in the training and instructions of the Lord. And there's some other verses there that says, and some of y'all, I saw your lips moving, and they will not depart from it. They may, but they're going to come back to it. I know what I'm talking about. I done it. I do it every day. I leave God every morning, and I have to come back to him about 8 seconds after I leave him. I can do this without you, Lord. He said, you can't even crank that Dodge pickup without me. You bring me into it every time. So, oh, Lord, yeah, how great thou art. Faith is not going and cranking your pickup up to see if it'll crank and then loading your dogs and then loading your horse. Faith is go ahead and load your dogs, load your horse. Call your friend that you're fixing to come pick up and tell him, I'm on the way. Then crank the pickup. Man, ask me that God's Not Dead movie deal. The guy was trying to get in the car and go somewhere and it wouldn't crank. You remember that deal? He said, you got to have faith. He said, well, we're going to check this car. No, put your stuff in there. Load plumb up. Then get in there and turn the key. That's trusting God right there. Now, I mentioned about slaves. It says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear. Now we can turn that into the people that we are actually working for. If you'll allow me to use this terminology, I become a slave. If I go to work for you today, I've actually become your slave. I'm working for in return whatever you're going to provide me. And I respect that. I respect that you are in a master's position. But guess what, masters? You have to respect that servant. Be in that servant. Had a young lady getting bawled out a couple of days ago. I was able to go gather some cattle for a guy, and I was by myself. I left there, and normally you can make it last until you know. I try to time it to where they buy you lunch. You know, in the cowboy world, if you go early, 4:30, 5 o'clock, they fix you breakfast. And then you go drop off on drive, make a big ranch drive. And sure, boy, we could get them cattle there a little bit faster. But that lead guy knows that if he don't hold them up, we're going to get done about 10, and we ain't getting lunch. And the wife didn't fix nothing because she thought he ain't going to be here for lunch. He's working for old so-and-so, so he going to get big lunch, and I'm just going to eat a little snack. Mm-hmm. Got to slow it down. Well, I got into that restaurant, and apparently the order was wrong here next to my table. And they started letting that waitress have it. And I just looked over there being me. Ma'am, did you fix that? Did you fix that plate of food for them? And that old boy looked at me like, said, exactly. And there's a guy back there, pretty good size, and he had a rag on his head. And he had, it was actually a chef hat. It was a pretty nice place. But he had this rag deal on his head, and he's a pretty big old boy, and he's pretty stout, and he was back there doing the cooking. And I said, I think that guy back there fixed you lunch. And I just went back to eating. See my point? He's willing to jump on the servant that just brought, you know, he was fixing to kill the messenger, not the one who sent the message. So as God says, obey them not only to win their favor in your eyes, in other words, when they can see you, but like slaves to Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. If we start being an American, if I start being an American from my heart and say, if you're an American, I love you. And if you want to be American, guess what? I love you even more, and I'm going to try to help you. But let's do it legal. Like the preacher spoke on last year, they have to, you have a process to get into heaven, right? You have to accept the invitation that God has given you. And if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, going old school, aren't you? Yeah. It says in God's Word, if my name is not in that book, if I'm not written down in the blood of Jesus, accepting, confessing with my mouth that I believe in my heart that I become a Christian, then legally I ain't getting into heaven, right? Well, you may can sneak in this country for a little while, and it doesn't matter where you come from. But when you die, you ain't sneaking into hell, and you ain't sneaking into heaven. God's Word says that. He tells us that. And it tells us, and we've been in Genesis, let's get on to the rest of the story. I'm dyslexic. I've told y'all that before. If they would have spelt it backwards, I'd have known what I had a lot sooner. Thank you. Three people know what dyslexia is. It tells me right here, I, Jesus, have sent an angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and I am the bright and morning star. Our writer of Revelation says, I warn everyone who hears the word of the prophecy. So you've heard God's word this morning. Here's your warning, okay? And everyone that has heard that word, they add anything to them, God will add to him the plagues that are described in this book. And if you skip right down here, I just want to get this point. God will take away from him his share of the tree of life, because that means that he never accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that cannot be taken away from you. He who testifies to these things say, yes, Jesus is speaking, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen and amen. It tells us in his word. You've been told by your Sunday school teachers. You've been told by preachers. You've been told by friends at work. You've been told by a lot of people, a lot of different things. But when it comes to God's word, don't take their word for it. Don't take my word for it. Now, I hopped around a lot, and I've got some scripture marked here. I tried to really focus on God's word here today. Because God just put that on my heart that there's someone here today that is doubting. They're doubting their salvation. Maybe they're doubting where they're at. Maybe they know they're saved, but they're doubting where they're supposed to be in their relationship, and just being a man or just being a woman, just living with the fact that God put you on this earth to be who he wants you to be, instead of who you want to be. That's what God's been dealing in my heart since the last time I was here. And it was so neat that I probably got a month or so there. We didn't see no way out. And then there's 2 or 3 months there that we thought, wow, couldn't be any better financially, physically, mentally, spiritually, the whole deal. But what was so great about that, when I physically and mentally and spiritually and financially was as low as I could possibly be, God was still there for me and helped me reach people that was in that same situation that I would have never saw and never been around and never got to share Jesus with if I wouldn't have been in that situation. And then I got to share Jesus, made the most money I could ever possibly make in 1 month. And no, I'm not turning it all in, so I ain't going to tell you how much it was. I ain't going to cheat the government. But the point is, the same God was using the same Barry to share Christ with some individuals that I was rubbing elbows with that I never would have been around. So it does not matter where you're at or what you're doing, God knows. Jesus knows. Lord, I just come to you right now. And Lord, I just lift up every individual here this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for them. Lord, I want to thank you for what you've allowed me to go through, and they get to sit here and have it for free. Kind of got bitter about that a time or two, God. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for that, because I know the reason I go through the highs of the high and the low of the lows is for you. And help me to never forget that. Lord, help me to never forget the country, the people that have fought and died. No matter the color of their skin, no matter the religion, they walked out on that battlefield. It did not matter to them. They were dying for their country. And God, I thank you and I praise you for those people. Lord, I want to thank you for giving Columbus a vision so many years ago to come here, and he brought you with him, looking for a place that he could freely worship. Lord, that's probably being threatened right now more than anything, is that freedom to worship. And God, I just pray that you could help us as Christians, that we will stop laying down and not take a knee when it comes to standing up for you and our nation. And Lord, for those that died for us and those that are fighting for us right now, I just lift up our leaders, God. I pray for them. Most of all, I lift up the leaders of this church that are reaching people right here in Cossie and the surrounding areas. God, I not only pray that we have a great rodeo this afternoon, God, but I pray that your light will shine on those that maybe was not able to get here this morning, and that they could see real Christians and real cowboys and real men and women that just love life and love each other and most of all love you. Lord, if there's someone here today that has not accepted you as their Lord and Savior, God, I pray that they will. In Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. Thank y'all so much.